Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
blessings, family. Shalom and welcome to Inspirational Wednesday. I am the Torah, and this particular broadcast and lesson is brought to you by Alm Hoida here on Babylon Talk Radio, where the internet wiretapping and computer harassing has definitely is in full throttle mode, because the FCC, when they got rid of net neutrality, trust me, it was an aim at all truther shows and protect fake news and try and get everyone to look to alternative sources for their information and have to dig a little bit deeper. Well, we as Bereans, those are people who study the word continuously, we are researchers anyway. We know what it is to go to the library, get a book and dig deep and not just be lazy and depend on the internet to feed us. That's where a lot of us go wrong anyway, is being fed by somebody who's sleeping in their mama's basement and they have a laptop down there and they're teaching a lesson like they have a 5,000 member congregation or something. And a lot of us are misled and go down bad rabbit holes through the internet, and it's time for us to study to show ourselves approved. Okay, I'm not going to say too much more. Had the Heart of a Hebrew Woman on last night, the panel of women. They did an excellent job. You can hear that in the archives. Go back in time. But today I'm turning it over to Deacon Abiram. Didn't think I'd be able to actually get on, but I'll be able to be here to give some commentary, but it's going to be in his hands with the lesson that he has prepared for today. So let me say Shalom to Deacon Abiram. How you doing, bro?
Doing fine, Shalom, brother. I'm just blessed at this, that the Most High has brought this, has let me see another day. I pray every day that he lets me see another day, because as we know, it's all in his hands. But
that's
I'm
right.
Doing just fine. I want to say Shalom to all the Hebrews out there, the strangers among us. But as you said, today our lesson is going to be on the lust of the flesh. And I was thinking too, when the Most High sent Yeshua down here to be a sacrifice, be a sacrificial lamb for our sins, Hashatan thought he had him there because he knows how hard or how much we are drawn to the flesh, that when you're in this body. And he didn't figure that Yeshua could overcome this. And so, but he thought he had him at that time, because when he took him out to try and tempt him, most normal men would have jumped right on all that, but the Yeshua he was strong in the word. Like I said, you know, the way we're drawn to the flesh, as you can see, most of the people in this world, that's how they're living. And so it's a stronghold on us. I'm going to start in 2 Samuel 11. We're going to go to verse 2. Okay. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David went and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite?" And David sent messengers to her and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto his house. Verse 5, and when a woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Now here's King David, who was a righteous man for most of his life or whatnot, but lust took hold of him, and he turned to the flesh instead of staying in the spirit. Next thing you know, he had this, he not only brought this woman that belonged to someone else to himself, but he also had her husband killed and so that he could have her. But as we know, David repented from this. That's why the Most High allowed him to live, because he repented. And that's what we need to do. When you repent, you have to do it in sincerity, because the Most High knows whether or not you're being sincere or you're just playing with words, you know, figuring that you have grace, as it were. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Here's chapter 6, verse 9. Okay. Know ye not. not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yah. And such were some of your such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Most High, in the Master Jesus, and by the Spirit of our Elohim. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meat. But Yah shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Most High, and the Most High for the body. See, that's telling you, your body doesn't belong to you. Turn away from the flesh, because our body belongs to the Most High. Okay, let's go to Second Timothy, chapter 2. And we're going to read one verse there. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, with all righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Most High out of a pure heart. And that's what you need. You have to flee lust. As we remember when we were reading in the 12 Patriarchs, when we read the story of Joseph. And Joseph was being impressed upon by the by his master's wife. Most of us, something like that happens, you're hard-pressed. She was coming hard at Joseph, beautiful woman. And what did Joseph do? He turned to fasting. He turned to fasting in order to, so that he could resist her. Because when you fast, that takes that feeling, that need, that desire away from you. It gets you away from lust. Lust brings you more into the spirit side of things. You know, you try to get closer to Yah. But that's what he did in order to overcome that lust. Some of us need to do that if, you know, you're being hit with the flesh, and you're thinking of turning, giving into the flesh, then fasting is the way to go. That will help you with that. Matter of fact, it will take that desire from you.
You know, Brother D, speaking of it, I know you, I can barely hear you a little bit, but I just wanted to comment. I can hear what you're saying on the lust that you're reading. And, you know, I'm learning how to, when I read certain scriptures, just kind of read it word for word and analyze each word and just really simplify it. Don't complicate it. So when I heard you say flee youthful lust, the things that jumped out to me were, number one, is that the onus is upon us as individuals to flee. First of all, that means you need to run, not entertain it, not be enticed by it, not chase it down, not examine it. When it says flee, it means flee. And this is for your own good. And then it's kind of interesting how it implies that a lust that does the opposite is a youthful lust. Doesn't mean only young people do it. It means you can be mature and still be immature in that aspect of your life with your lust. So at the end of the day, it still always brings me back to the fact that the onus is upon us as individuals to grow up. When I became a man, I put away childish things.
You're right, Brother V. it's you do have to flee, because if you're entertaining, you know, the more you keep thinking of that you're going to go down that road, and that's what you need to do. You do need to flee, get away from that. You know, find a way, because like I said, if you start entertaining your mind, next thing you know, you're up in the midst of it.
Mhm.
All right. Let's go to 1 John 2 and 16. I trust you can hear me better.
Yeah, I can hear you better.
Okay. 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, just like you were just mentioning, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And let's read 17 also. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of Yah abideth forever. And when you're looking at everlasting life here, you know, this pride and the lust and the world, I mean, it pulls us toward him, but it's for a short time. It's for a short period, you know. And what we want to strive for is everlasting life. And the world and the lust of the flesh will not get us there. Now let's go to Proverbs 6 and 25. I know a lot of us struggle with this because the world pulls hard on us. You know, it's something we have to work at constantly to stay in the spirit and out of the world, because you can't have one foot in the world and one foot, you know, in the spirit, because it's not going to work. The two are opposed to each other, you know, because you have the people, you know, they're playing church or they're figuring they have grace, and so it allows them to be in the world during the weekday and then come into their Sunday church and get forgiveness so that they figure they're okay.
Right.
In Proverbs 6 and 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelid. Because, you know, when you lust after someone, you don't have to actually, commit the act with her. But if you're lusting after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. So you need to be aware of that, because you know how we are. We walk down the street, you see a young woman, she's scantily clad and whatnot, and right away you're looking over there, and then when I had the old man with me, you know, I had all kind of comments to say. In fact, I was I was riding around with this guy, and a couple of times he saw some women, he made a comment. Finally, I had to tell him, I said, you know what, I don't go that way anymore. I said, so, you know, I don't listen to that anymore. But, you know, in the past, like I said, I was all in there with him, you know. Yeah, look at her and all this other stuff. But like I said, you need to put that to rest. You need to kill the old man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And a lot of us get comfortable with that old man. There's certain parts of our life we don't want to let go of, and it's so ingrained in us that we just continue some of those habits, those patterns, not realizing that long term they're interrupting our spiritual cycle. You think you're missing out on something. Right. We really have to be reprogrammed, and that comes through taking on the Ten Commandments.
Exactly, and and living in the spirit, you know, to get away from that. Because the more you do that, you know, you get away from living in the flesh. Because, like I said, it has a strong pull on us. I mean, you know, that like I was saying, that's what Hashatan. That's his main card. He knows how the flesh and the spirit of how the flesh draws on us, and how we easily turn toward it. And so That's what he's hoping for. Here's
right.
Galatians 5, we'll start at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just as I just talked about, you know, you turn toward the Spirit, because if you're just susceptible to that, then the lust will come, the world will come pouring in, if you're going to open yourself to that. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And see, if you walk in the Spirit, you don't want to do those things that that the world puts forward, or that the flesh puts in front of you, if you're walking in the Spirit. Verse 18, but ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You know what that means? If you're led by the Spirit, the law is not going to affect you, because if you're led by the Spirit, you're doing what's right. You're doing what's righteous, and you're following those laws, statutes, and commandments. 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, just like we read earlier, but adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, and strife. Well, you know, when you have these brothers, they want to argue every point of the word with you,
right.
Because they live strife, seditions, heresy.
Let's point this out, because I remember we covered this on a Shabbat, this particular scripture. So what the deacon is reading right now, I mean, you may have a question out there saying, well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh? Well, right now he's reading to you what it is to walk in the flesh. These are things that people do when they're walking in the flesh. These are the fruits of it. So walking in the Spirit is just the opposite of what he's reading. So if anything he's read or called out is applicable to your lifestyle, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. These things still have a grip on you. I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead.
Yeah, and as I read this, I want to point out something else when I finish here. And these are more ways of walking in after the flesh. 21, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As you can see, all of those, there's lots of ways for you to walk after the flesh. And when you get down to walking after the Spirit, it's simple. There's some things you need to do, but there's many more ways for you to walk in the flesh, as you can see.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Romans 8 and 6. Just like they said, we're trying to do what's right, follow the laws, statutes, and commandments. Because you need the Most High as you go through this walk. Because as you know, this isn't an easy walk. Because especially when the lust of the world is pulling at us. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to me, those are two simple choices. You choose life, you follow the law, statutes, and commandments, and you choose life so that you live forever. But, everyone's going to live forever. It's just that where are you going to be at? You're going to be in the kingdom, or are you going to be in the lake of fire? I mean, so, right now, people feel that, they think about being... walking in after the world and flesh, that seems to be the easy route for them to go. But when the time comes, said they're going to see that it's going to be crystal clear that they should have walked that path with the spirit as opposed to walking in lust, because when they end up in the lake of fire, it'll become crystal clear what they should have done. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you hear, you can't please Yah if you're walking in the flesh.
So right.
If you're in a weekday, you're out there doing everything that you normally do, and you come into church on Sunday, or even if you come to you follow the Sabbath. You know, you've got to. I mean, this is no part time thing. You've got to be walking in the Spirit every chance you get. You got to be following those laws, statutes, and commandments.
Right.
Okay, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yah dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Yeshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, hold on a second here. But the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raises up Yeshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you, that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Right. I think that's an important point too. Every time I hear you speak like this, the onus is upon us. So at some point, the self-control has to come into play. And we're not going to have self-control until we cut certain things out of our life. Sometimes you got to cut the TV off. You got to cut friends off, certain family off, certain phone numbers off. Certain things you just have to, like, put the blinders on. So it's just like, how bad do you want it? I know when you see somebody that wants a job bad, wants to win a fight, win a game bad, people work harder. They put something into it. But I'm going to have to question your passion and love of the HaMashiach, Christ, and if you really want to get in the kingdom based upon your actions right now. To repent means to turn away from. And we know when we make a mistake, it's because we tripped and fell. How many of you walked down the sidewalk, didn't see the raised curb, and you accidentally tripped? Okay, well, you just didn't see it coming. But you can't keep saying, I didn't see that little raised sidewalk coming every time you walk by it. You should know
exactly.
From experience. So it's not going to be applicable in the eyes of Yah.
Because, you know, the phrase I like to use is, the Most High ain't no fool. He knows exactly what you're thinking and what you're doing. So you can't hide anything from him. So don't even try. You know, you're just wasting your own time.
He knows your heart, and he's watching to see. He's proving. He wants to prove you. So he's watching to see, you know, what type of person you really are and how you're going to respond. So just because nothing happens right away, don't think you got off the hook.
You're right, and like I said, you have to be sincere with your repentance, because as we read earlier with David was what, even though there were consequences, the Most High didn't do what the Torah actually called to be done, and that was to kill him, you know. But he was sincere in his repentance, Same thing with Reuben. It was reading the 12 patriarchs. When Reuben slept with his father's concubine, he was genuinely repentant after that. That's why the Most High let him live. When you ask for repentance and you're really sincere about it, it's powerful. The Most High will hear you.
If you're sincere.
Yes, if you're sincere. Because there's a lot of people that get on their knees and they'll pray, and I'm sorry, but then they're right back out there doing some of the things that they were doing before. So the Most High knows you're not sincere. See, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's the only one that we can call, that we should be calling Abba. No matter what that Abba Bivens used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to, let's see, where else? That was, let's go to James 1 and 14. Let's see, we got James chapter 1. Start at verse 14, and we're going to go to verse 14 and 17. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Like I said, we're all, every day we see temptations. You know, as we're going, wherever we're going, whether or not it's the woman that's not, that's not walking after the Spirit, and she's showing all this flesh and everything, or whether or not there's, something that you know you shouldn't be looking at or doing, it's out there. You were being tempted every day. That's why you rely on the Most High, you draw in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, so that this stuff has no effect on you. Verse 15.
Yeah, but you know, the one that I want to focus on that you just said, can you read that one more time?
But every man is tempted, James 1 and 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Right. It's like you said.
Right, and the reason I wanted to bring that one back out is because it said drawn away of his own lust. The only way you get tempted is because in your mind you've been saying, I've been wanting a girl or a man like that, or, ooh, I got a desire to go be with somebody like that, or I just want this quickie, or it's your lust. You're tempted and drawn away based on something that you already sat up there and lusted after. So this is what we're talking about, getting out of the flesh and walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but fulfilling the desires of the Spirit and the things that the Word wants you to have. So you have to kill off your lustful desires. It's cravings, just like cravings for food. You've got to learn how to fast to control your body. And thoughts are going to come, but you cast down your thoughts. You don't let the thoughts stay in your head. You rebuke them. Because you'll say a lot of times, where did that come from? Well, the way this technology is going now, MK Ultra and the 5G and the internet, they can put thoughts and frequencies through your mind. People are hearing voices saying, kill everybody, because they got chips inside of them. They got metal inside of them. They've been programmed. They've been brainwashed. So, you got to fast and, get away from these things of the world. I just want to say that, brother.
Yeah, and it's going to come at you at all the time. I mean, how many of us have had, friends or people we knew, next thing you know, they're sending you a video that's pornographic, or they're sending you something, pictures, and that kind of stuff. You can't even entertain it. You just got, okay, I know where that brother's coming from. He hasn't coming to the truth. He's not following after the law, statutes, and commandments. So I'm just going to leave that alone. I'll pray for that brother. But there's all kind of ways where, you're going to be tempted.
Right.
Verse 15. They were lust.
Hey, but don't just pray for that brother. Like we said last night, check that brother, because you don't want that blood on your hands.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. You do. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, the good things do come down from Yah. And let's also look at this. You may ask the Most High for certain things, but it's all, His will be done. You know, you can ask Him for it, but if the Most High don't feel that that's something you need to have or something that's going to turn you the wrong way, He's not going to have you. He's not going to let you have that. And we need to be mindful of that.
That's a good point because that scripture says every good and perfect gift. Now, you know when you've been blessed with a good gift because you don't have to pay for it. There's no debt. There's no interest. You didn't struggle to make this happen. You didn't lie, beg, borrow. You didn't sit up here and tell the man at the car lot, I'm going to get a second job, and now you got to go find a second job. No. When the Most High blesses you with something, when He gives you something, it's so perfect. It's so flawless. The door's wide open. No man can shut it. And there's no obstruction. And it doesn't cause debt and stress. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Some of these things we forced on ourselves, we're trying to create, and we don't even see the subtle signs along the way that's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. This is not meant to be. This is why
we
have to walk in.
We do have free will. So, you know, just like you said, the things we bring upon ourselves.
Right.
As you know, the Most High is not going to tempt you to do what's wrong. Romans 1, I'm going to go to Romans 1, and we'll start at verse 21. Because that, when they knew Yah, they glorified Him not as Yah, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Yah into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. 24, wherefore the Most High also gave them up to their uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, the Most High will give you up to that. If you're going hard after the world and that's what's important and you're not putting Him first, He'll give you up to that. He'll let you go through that, you know, and hopefully, you know, it's so that you will learn. Because, you know, those spirits of those gifts of the flesh that Hashatan has given to you, they don't come with that good feeling like Brother V was just talking about. I mean, you see so many of these celebrities, they have everything. They've got all these riches. They have these homes, cars, you know, all the women. But they're miserable because their spirit is dead. And they're miserable with that. Because they're not living the way they should be living. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of Yah into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. 26. For this cause, Yah gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did once change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. As we can see now, this whole pride movement, every city's got a pride parade. Like I said, the Most High had given them up to the flesh and to the lust that they're craving after. and it can only lead to death. I mean, and when it says, you know, there's good will become bad and bad will become good, I mean, the way the program they're running out there now is that to be gay is good. I mean, you got television shows, even kid television shows, tell you what, it's okay to be gay. It's totally against
right.
the Most High.
Right.
Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain Yah in their knowledge, Yah gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Yah, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Yah, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in him that do them.
Mm.
I mean, you see, those are all the things that you can do to walk in the flesh. Something that we don't want as Yah's children. That's not something we want to do. We want to.
Right.
We don't want to walk in. We want to walk in the Spirit. And they
right.
pray every day that the Most High helps you with this walk.
Right.
Okay, let's go to, where am I at here? 1 Peter 4:1. And he's coming up that I want him to come. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Yeshua has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Mm.
Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh.
Sorry. Okay, excuse me, Bobby Rahm. That scripture right there is so deep. He that has suffered or is suffering in the flesh has ceased from sin. People need to grasp that for a minute. That walking away from sin is going to be a painful walk. You're going to suffer in the flesh. You might as well brace yourself now and to take that as a glorious suffering, because that suffering doesn't even compare to the suffering that our Christ, HaMashiach, had on the cross for your sins. Also, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us when he returns. So that you have to really put on your big boy shoes, and a lot of y'all can do it, because in life, I know I have very high pain tolerance. I walk around here in pain. I'm getting over. These joints hurt. This gout kicks in. But I just endure it, and you keep going. That's what's going to happen with you spiritually. It's going to hurt. People gonna hurt you, but you don't let it get to you. You count it all joy. You rejoice at every pain. So I could get up and say, oh, my back aches, everything aches, but at the same time, I could be like, I'm alive another day and I'm breathing and I have the activity of my limbs. I get to enjoy another day. So it's all about you and how you reprogram yourself and say that. So that scripture just jumped out to me when you read it, that he that has ceased from sin, you're suffering. Because you letting your flesh die. And you feel it. It's a glorious thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lifetime of practicing living in the flesh. And so that's why you need the Most High in order to get away from that and to stay in his word. And so as we read this word on a daily basis, and pray to him to help us as we go through this walk.
Yeah, I kind of got used to, and I know you do it too. We'll end up watching, if we're not studying the Bible or looking at new books, we'll go ahead and watch other camps and videos just to kind of just keep it going, because there's nothing on TV to watch. You're going to turn on the TV, you're going to see something that's going to make you say, dang, I remember back in the day when I used to do all that. Start reminiscing,
exactly.
You know?
I mean, and I have no desire to turn this television on. I mean, that was something I used to always do. I'd come home from work, you know, and then I'd watch my shows I had on TV, you know, certain ones recorded. I mean, I have no desire for that anymore. My television is off, I'd say, 98% of the time. I mean, I used to go to that. That was a comfort for me. And that's a comfort for a lot of people. They come home and turn on their television. And all the television really has, for the most part, unless you look for the right kind of shows, it's just glorifying the world and glorifying the acts of the lust of the world.
Right.
Verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, where we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. I mean, and those are that, you know, that's what the Gentiles follow. And we, you know, we were given a law. We were given a way to portray ourselves and to act and to what to believe in. But when we turn that aside to walk after the Gentiles, who I'd say many of them, it's the lust that they're following. It's the ways of the world, and that's what we need. We want to get away from. Okay, let's go to I want to go to 2 Peter. Verse 2, and we're going to go 2 Peter verse 2 to 14. Okay. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And back where it says that they will make merchandise of you, every nation that we were scattered into made merchandise of the Most High's people. They prospered. They, they actually had a blessing for us being in there, being scattered or sent to their nation. But like I said, every one of those made merchandise of Yah's people. Verse 4. For if Yah spared, hold on a second. Make sure I'm looking at the right thing. Okay. For if Yah spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, a world of ungodly, and turned the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. See, the Most High didn't spare them, so, like I said, you're not special. I mean, you can't just follow after the ways of the world, after the lust of the world, and think you're going to be spared. Verse 7. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Most High knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. See, the Most High knows if you're living in the Spirit, you're being godly. The Most High is going to deliver you out of temptations. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in a lust of uncleanliness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Verse 11, whereas the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Most High. Verse 12, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. There's a reward for unrighteousness too. It's called the lake of fire. As they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And you know, there's just so many ways that we could end up on the wrong side of the street. And
yeah,
like I said, that's why when you do feel yourself slipping and sliding over into the world, that's when you need to cry out to the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are a lot of people that don't call on him when they should.
Right.
You have to call on him in sincerity.
I wonder if that's because most people don't realize how lost they are, or they don't realize the consequences of what they've done. Because, I mean, sometimes people should get to the point where they realize what it feels like to not have him in your life, and then what it feels like to have him in your life. I know, like when David prayed that prayer, take not thy spirit away from me. When the Holy Spirit leaves somebody's life, that where the Holy Spirit has a priority in your life, you're going to be able to feel when it's left your life because of something you've done, because your temple's unclean and it doesn't want to live in there with that mess. You're going to feel it, and you're going to become vulnerable. And the Most High forbid that, listen to this closely, during that one moment of time, that, now listen to this is crucial. During that one moment of time that you decide to sin, corrupt your temple, and the Holy Spirit leaves, and your house is wide open and left vulnerable, Most High forbid that be the time that them old demons pop back in your life, find your temple swept and clean, go back and get 8 worse, more demons and inhabit that temple, because the Holy Spirit's not there and nobody's home. And this is what people don't think about before they sin.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is, Brother V, we don't know when he's coming back. That's why you want to keep yourself in righteousness and follow that through the Spirit, and you want to be right when Yeshua does come back. It's like, mm-hmm. that day is known to no man. And so you want to get in the habit of keeping yourself walking in the Spirit so that when he does come, you know, you won't be caught unawares. Okay, let's go to Galatians 5:24. And they that are Yeshua's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You've crucified the flesh. Like I said, you've killed that old man. And 25. Mm-hmm. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Especially this provoking one another, because you see brothers arguing about this and arguing about that. A lot of those brothers, they're into strife, and we're supposed to avoid certain things. We're supposed to avoid these petty arguments about certain things. You know, if you're reading the word, studying the word, then that's what you should be doing, not looking to get into debates with other brothers, because there are a lot of them out there that's what they look at. I mean, especially when you got some of these camps out there, you know, they're out in the streets doing their thing. There are brothers that go there looking just to get in arguments with those guys. I mean, that's not how we should be living. Let's go to Titus 2:12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to do 12 and 13 here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. You know, we're a light to this world. So there's another way to live, another way to be. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Yeshua, our Savior Yeshua. Let me read that again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Yeshua HaMashiach. And actually, Brother V, that's all the scriptures I have this morning on that. It's pretty much what I wanted to bring out, that we need to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit.
Right.
And then ask the Most High every morning when you or even when you hit your knees or you face east to pray to Him, and you ask for help. I ask for help every day when I pray to Him to help me as I go through this walk. Because you know, He will strengthen us.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate your lesson, but I appreciate your seasoning. But you know, your seasoning has given you some of the spiritual strength that you have. Some of these young bucks, they haven't survived the things that you've survived, and they still want to go through it. And I think that's part of your ministry, is to tell them what you have survived. They used to say back in the day, the hoary head, the older folks, you should respect them because they beat up some demons you ain't even faced in the ring yet.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, they already went through that fight already. You ain't even got there yet.
Exactly. That's why you respect your elders, and you give them that respect, because they've been you can learn things from your elders. You know, when you got the young people out there, think they know everything, you know, an old man can't tell me anything. No, they can tell you a lot, because just like said, they've been through those wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's, and with this lesson of what you're saying, it's re-emphasizing the fact that we need to move into the weekly face-to-face fellowships, because we don't have enough to do to keep us focused on spirit and not distracted by flesh. So we go to gatherings a lot. My wife and I, we get around other people. We talk around other people. And a lot of the people around us are spiritual. Some of them may not be in the truth or understand it, but they are spiritual. So it causes us, check this out, even when they're like in Christianity or whatever, even being around those people causes you to search your scriptures to show them where they're wrong or to see if what they're doing is wrong. So what I'm saying is there's a spiritual spiritual centrifuge, surrounding atmosphere that you create for yourself. So I think going forward, we're going to have to go ahead and continue with the order. You and I talked about establishing order 6 months ago before some other folks went crazy. I think the order, it needs to be established, and the weekly fellowships need to be established so that the spirituality can increase and grow and be strengthened. Because if we're not seeing each other from week to week, you can get on the phone and be lying, sitting up in the house, toe up, but I can't see you. You toe up, you on the floor from last night, everything. But when we come together, we get to see each other and check each other.
And it's important that we support each other in these times, because we are living in the last days. And, you know, Jacob's trouble is upon us, and they're going to be coming for us. And it's important that we support each other in these last days and give each other strength.
Right, right. I'm in total agreement with you. You know how it is. We get together, and we'd be like, hey, brother, you doing all right? You look like, you know, everything all right? You don't look. See, that's what we don't like. We don't want somebody to get us and call us on our stuff, but we need it. It's necessary. And especially, like you said, in these last days. So if you want to walk in the spirit, stop lying to yourself and to your brothers and sisters. You're only hurting yourself. We're here to help each other in this walk. So, you know, why do those things to ourselves?
Yeah, exactly. And just like you said, you know, transparent with your brothers and sisters, because they're there. They're not there to condemn you. And, you know, what's going on, they're there to help you and to build you up. I mean, if you have slipped, you talk to your brothers and sisters, they'll help, you know, bring you back on the path. They're not there to condemn you for what you did. They're there to bring you back on the right path, and they may check you to do that, but they're going to bring you on the right path. They're interested in your well-being and your living and you know, obtaining that eternal life.
Hey, or at least they should be, and if they're not, leave that fellowship and come on and get with us.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're looking for that. We're open to that, and we're looking at doing the right things and living in the spirit. So yes, come with us.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's some people we fellowship with, and they're being treated wrong by their camps, their churches. Their needs aren't being met. You know, we don't condemn them about that. You stick with them, be around them, but you still need other brothers and sisters that you can call. So don't get caught in that stuff where your camp tells you, don't call this camp, don't fellowship with these people, they not like us. Nah. I bet you when it hits the fan, you're not going to be worried about all that. You know?
Yeah.
Some of them people that sat in the hospital taking their last breath, they was glad to see anybody. Some of them were sitting up in the hospital calling everybody they could to repent and apologize, and none of that stuff is going to matter. And we need to get to the point where we understand a lot of these things don't matter, won't matter.
Yeah, and then let's look at it for what it is. If they're telling you not to talk to other people, not to call the people because they're worried that you're gonna talk to somebody that's going to, you know, show them that some of the stuff that they're talking about isn't in the truth. It's not something that's of the Bible, of the Word, and so they're worried about you finding that stuff out, and then you're going to come back there and ask them about it, and then they have to, you know, what they have to do is make up stuff to try and get you to believe what they're doing, but they don't want you out there hearing truth from others.
Right. They absolutely don't. Well, brother, excellent lesson. And, I'll be in touch. We'll let everyone know that we will be meeting in Oakland at one of these centers. It'll probably either be by Lake Merritt or over by Jack London Square on a regular basis. But please communicate with us on Facebook. That's the only reason why we got Faces of the Dead book open, so that we can get ministry done. That's the only reason we use it. Be the preacher, Tamar Tarah. You see my wife and I's face on the front. You can message us. Go to Messenger. Leave us your number, because where we're going to be fellowshipping, you can only come by invitation. You can't just walk up in there. You can only come by invitation. Have to know you're coming, but it's going to be a wonderful location where we can definitely just get into the Word and get our open up our school here in Oakland, California. All right, Brother D, you got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, no, like I said, just enjoy the day that the Most High has given us. And, you know, we're at midweek and almost upon Shabbat, but, you know, we all love Shabbat. So just stay with the Most High, pray to the Most High, and walk in the Spirit.
All right. All right. So Shalom. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Shalom.
Keep your head.